This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We lead off the Power Hour with the head football coach at NC State, who, by the way, are rocking on the recruiting trail. There he is, Dave Dorn, getting ready to take care of business. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great.
I tell you what, before we start talking about any football and other stuff going on, how about your baseball coach there at NC State? How about Elliot Avent, what he's pulling up? There you go.
Oh, look
there it is.
Not even. Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you what, man. We were watching that game as a family the other night, and every single pitch, every hit, every out, that was awesome. So proud of Coach and his team. And to go from 1-8 to the College World Series, it's been an incredible journey for that group. And we're obviously, as a university, pulling hard for him. And nobody loves Elliot as much as we do. That guy's so special to this school, and he's been a great friend to me.
All right. Now, I said going to the break, and then you told me, no, you're not going because, again, you got camps and all that. I keep forgetting the doors are open in the month of June now for the first time in about 14 months. Because in your world, though, I mean, Omaha, this is you, man. You know that Nebraska area as well as anybody I know. Kansas, Nebraska, that's your spot. And you can't go to Omaha because you got camp this weekend?
I know. It's criminal. I would love to be in Omaha getting like a old 96er ribeye from one of those Omaha steakhouses. But, it's an incredible place, and they do it first class. Hopefully – I don't know how this plays out. I haven't seen the dates that we could play other than Saturday's game. But we have camps here Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week, and then Sunday's Father's Day. It's like the one unwritten rule in our coach's handbook here that we do not work on Father's Day. So, we'll see when that second game is. Maybe we can get out to that one.
Dave, it's interesting. Okay. We talk a lot when a football program is hot, how it kind of sets the tone for an entire athletic department in terms of the trickle-down recruiting, exposure. Can it work in reverse here with baseball getting to Omaha, where all of a sudden that NC State brand gets a little bit more national recognition where you can take advantage of it?
Yeah, I think, even going back to basketball, women's basketball, Coach Moore and his team had such a great year, and our Olympic sports, swimming and wrestling, have always competed and done so well, and now baseball is doing its thing. So we're competitive, and we all want to follow each other and play off of each other's momentum. And so obviously it helps. It helps the brand to have this like we do right now, and it'll continue to build as we do these things and win on the fields.
Dave, if I asked you at this point to say offense or defense, if one's ahead of the other in your mind going into the August camp, they both look rock solid. They both like they've got depth. They've got experienced players, things like that. Where are you in measuring both those units? Because it looks like Tim and Tony have put together great, great lineups for you here.
Yeah. I don't know who's ahead of who. It's going to be a competitive fall camp between the two sides of the ball. And that's one of the things, we love iron sharpens iron is one of our favorite Bible verses here, but also just, one man strengthens another. I use it in recruiting. I mean, I remember watching Garrett Bradbury going up against BJ Hill in practice every day, and Bradley Chubb going up against our offensive tackles every day, and him and Will Richardson competing. And so we have, Aleem was going up against Grant Gibson. All these matchups now, I was talking to Savion Jackson, our starting defensive end, about him and Icky in practice and how much he loves that competition. And that's what it's all about. And so, I don't know who's ahead of who, but we do have a lot of experience and competitive depth. And the thing I'm most excited about is just watching the competition and some of the position groups. It's going to be intense.
Dave, do you sense that your team this upcoming season is flying underneath the radar? Not that you care that the media says, hey, you're great, or you guys stink, or anything in between. But do you feel like you're kind of flying underneath the radar a little bit? Because, I mean, the people that really know college football are saying, hey, this NC State team can be absolutely filthy, and be careful when you play them.
I think we're right where we want to be honest. It just continues to make that chip on our shoulder grow, and we've got to earn what we want. We got to prove who we are, and that's the nature of the sport. You know, for whatever reason, being under the radar seems to be a place that we live, and you know, we got to go out there and beat the best to probably eliminate that, and we're going to have that opportunity. We got a very challenging schedule this fall and look forward to it.
Well, you talk about competitive depth. You've got competitive depth just about at every position on the field. But Devin Leary's health at quarterback is a premium for you, because when healthy last year, he was sensational. I mean, he was really, really good in the win at Pittsburgh, and was playing great when he got hurt. And then I was impressed when Roddy and I had your spring game with the way he came back in the spring and kind of just picked up from where he left off, I guess, in some respects.
Well, you know, that's the thing with a broken bone, and obviously, as we know, it heals stronger, and Devin's always had a great arm. He's extremely confident. He believes in the players around him, and I think being in the system now for 2 years with Coach Beck, he's finishing coach's sentences, so he's very confident. We're excited about Devin, and also excited about, you know, what's going on behind him. I think, you know, watching Ben Finley and Aaron McLaughlin grow up this summer, you know, we've got a lot of guys in that room that can help us win games. And Devin's a guy that, with his arm strength and the players around him, could have a sensational year for us.
Coach, what's the one aspect of this team in June, and I emphasize in June, that you think folks are going to be surprised about when they see the 21 version of the pack?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think probably if you haven't seen our linebacking core play in person, because I know a lot of people didn't get to do that last year, Drake Thomas, Isaiah Moore, Peyton Wilson, and Levi, those four guys, and they play a lot. It's a really talented position group and the way they play. And thing came out the other day that Isaiah and Peyton were number one and number two in the nation in tackles for loss. It's an aggressive, fun group to watch. And if you haven't seen them, especially Peyton in person, I think it's it's old school. It's enjoyable. And seeing him play, it's something that definitely a lot of people have talked to me about.
But the attitude that those guys bring to the table is infectious, because – Roddy talked about this a little bit in the spring, and the more I went back and kind of looked at the tape, somebody like a Tyler Baker Williams, coach, has picked up on the characteristics of those older guys, and Tyler's a guy who is also ready to tee off. He looks like he could have a breakout year for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tyler last year was one of the guys that was contact traced three times, I think, and so when he played for us, he was one of our best players. But, you know, he was in and out because of the COVID restrictions so many times. He had a great offseason. And the nickel position in our defense is probably the hardest to play. It takes one of the most well-rounded athletes. And Tyler's really playing at a high level. And as you know, there's a lot of great slot receivers in the ACC that he'll be up against. So I look forward to watching him do what he does.
I know we're going to have plenty of time to see you next month for ACC kickoff here in Charlotte. I want to switch gears on you. What was your take on what you read last week regarding the expansion of the college football playoff?
Yeah, you know, as somebody who's been in the playoffs at the FCS level twice, it was awesome. And we had a smaller roster, obviously. We only had 63 scholarship players, and we played 31 games in 2 years. We played 16 games 1 year and 15 the next. And I absolutely loved it. You know, how they put it together, I'm anxious to see. I was reading an article yesterday about, you know, the teams getting to play on their own campuses versus bowl games and how they're going to keep all that stuff together. So I do think it's great for college football. I think there's some things they really need to think about and iron out, you know, just so that the logistics and we get the best out of that. Whatever they come up with, you know, whether it's 12 teams, 8 teams, 6 teams. But I think the expansion of it is needed, and, you know, excited that they're putting that on the table right now and talking about it.
Coach, I want to follow up with that, because something you just said I think is really important and will be discussed, I'm sure, in Chicago and beyond. And the fact that you've got experience in the FCS playing 15 and 16 games. If a team, if this gets approved and we fast forward the clock here and NC State's in the tournament, you could have to play 17 games to win the national championship. You're around these guys 24/7, 365. Is 17 too large a number? Or is the answer, hey, guys, this is what we do. We go to class, we play football, and man, let's go get them. So what's the answer in that delicate, you know, mental well-being, the safety and health and condition of student-athletes, that 17 could be too large a number in an expanded college football playoff?
Yeah, I think player safety is a big deal, and they need to talk about that at length. Whether they go to a 2 bye-week schedule to make that a better situation for the teams, or give them a week off at the end of the season before they start it, I don't know. You know, I do know it's going to be an important conversation, and one I don't have all the answers to. However, if you want to be the best, you're going to have to go through a gauntlet regardless of what they put out there. And, you know, I think we're going to have to buy into that. You know, I think whatever it ends up being, there's going to be more games that those teams have to play. The teams that get into that type of system, I know our springs were much different. I know it's different level, but at Montana, I mean, we didn't really have a very contact-oriented spring ball because our season was so long. You know, we played 16 games, and you had to be smart in the spring with your players. You had to do a lot of things that kept them from, you know, putting themselves at risk. So it's going to be up to the teams to manage it, and I think also the experts, the medical advisory committees and boards on the best way to put together a long season for these guys to keep them safe.
Well, I tell you what, great stuff as always. The season will be here before you know it. September 2nd against South Florida. NC State hosts the Bulls in Raleigh. Enjoy what break you can get, and good luck in the month of June. I know June's turned into a big month in college football.
Yeah, June's been crazy here. It's been awesome. You know, it's great to have families and recruits back in person. And the thing that we're most proud of, everybody has great buildings. You know, I feel like at NC State, our people are what we show off. You know, we've got great support staff and coaches and our administration and everybody around. So we're really excited to have visitors again. Hope you all have a great summer and really pulling hard here for Elliott and his baseball team these next 15 to 16 days.
Yeah, we'll be looking for you out in Omaha, and we'll definitely see you in Charlotte next month, all right?
Well, if I'm lucky enough to get there, I'll make sure I put out a picture of the steak I'm eating for you.
Oh,
okay?
You dog.
There you go.
You dog.
Boy.
A little whiskey steak for everybody. Never hurt a soul. Never hurt a soul.
That's right.
Love it.
Thanks, Dave.
Coach.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys. Go Pack.
All right. You bet. Dave Doran, football coach at NC State. Always a great visit when we come back. John Waldhack's comments on name, image, and likeness should be interesting. Jim Cavalli works for Influencer. They are one of the leading companies in working with schools to get ready for what could change on July 1 and what all that means. Social media, endorsement opportunities, things like that. That's next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Image and likeness is happening. And yep. July 1 across the country, some states have gotten a head start. You heard John Waldhack talk about we need conformity. Everybody needs to be playing by the same set of rules and understand that we're rowing in the same direction. You know, Dave Doran's talking about recruiting and everything else. All of this gets tied in together. And our next guest makes his debut on our program and is really kind of front and center when it comes to name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, Jim Cavale is the CEO of Influencer. INFLCR is the way that Influencer spelled out. And Jim does a lot of things and has probably been at the forefront of this. And he joins us from Tallahassee because Florida State, the rule kicks in there July 1. I know he's got Florida State on his client list. Jim, first of all, thank you for the time. And I know it's a busy day in Tallahassee, but I want to get to one thing here about name, image, and likeness. And that is companies like Influencer, other firms are going to try and help these schools navigate the waters. John Waldhack, the athletic director at Syracuse, was just with us saying, we really don't have a roadmap to this. There's a lot more unknown than known at this point. From your chair as someone who's kind of been at the forefront for this, where do you think we are as we're in mid-June and about 2.5 weeks away from this?
Well, I mean, listen, John makes a good point because New York State doesn't have legislation, and that's the same for 45 other states right now that, you know, don't have bills that start on July 1st. Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, New Mexico, or the half dozen states or so that have a plan to start in a few weeks. And, you know, listen, for us, we are focused on the schools that we serve across the country and making sure that student athletes have education around name, image, and likeness when it comes to financial literacy, how to set up an entity, how to pay their taxes, all the things people are thinking about. You know, what's their Pell Grant threshold? But at the same time, on top of education, student athletes need resources to just build their brands. Followers naturally are attracted to student athletes, and student athletes need resources like content shot of them by the media, and also more education to know how to build their brand and make the most of this stage while they're on it. And so that's really two of the big focuses that no matter what the rules are, you have to have a plan around. You have to educate and you have to build student athlete brands.
Jim, what do you think? I want you to pick your number one client. You don't have to say the school, but your number one client, your number one star, right? Could be the point guard, could be the quarterback, could be a women's tennis player. I don't know. And that doesn't even matter. What do you think the maximum neighborhood figure will be for what a student athlete will be able to generate when this thing gets cranked up?
I think you're going to see student athletes, and instead of picking a school or an athlete, I think better way to say is there's really three segments to our database of more than 100,000 student athlete users. And we analyzed their brand values using one of the best firms in the industry. And what we found is less than 2% are what we call performers. Performers are your Trevor Lawrences and Zion Williamsons, the athletes that every sports article you read around NIL talks about when they do examples of a hypothetical AT&T sponsorship deal with the athlete. Less than 2% of those athletes, could they generate as much as seven figures in endorsements? I think some could and will. Will some do hundreds of thousands of dollars? Yes. But the reality is, the biggest segment of our database are what we call producers. These are athletes that are good enough to get on the field or court, but also are savvy with social media. And while they're not as big of a name as Trevor Lawrence, they will learn how to get on Cameo and do personalized videos for fans, to get on Coach Up and do lessons for youth, to get on something like Steiner Collectibles and sign autographs and sell them, and use technology to scale their reach with their NIL. And that's going to be the key, because they're going to class. They're going to, you know, film rooms. They're going and playing in the games. They only have so much time to be able to dedicate towards this. And so they need technology, which they're familiar with because they're young folks who grew up with it, to be able to systemize what they're doing. The rest of our database is what we call the players. And the players are the ones that don't really care about this. They're not going to really do much with their NIL. Maybe they'll do a pizza gift card for a local pizza joint and post for social media for the pizza joint. But that is really the breakdown. And so these producers make up 74% of our 150,000 student athlete network. And that's where we're focused, and we're focusing our schools.
Jim, when I look at schools here, and in particular sports, and like, for instance, well, I'll reference this Wildhack interview again, where he said, you know, football, both men's and women's basketball and men's and women's lacrosse, are the dominant sports at Syracuse University. How important for a company like yourself to understand, yes, they're the brand name sports at Florida State, since that's where you are today, but there also might be a softball player, a women's tennis player, a women's soccer player, somebody else who, and I'll use Haley Van Lith at Louisville as an example, because Haley Van Lith has 900,000 followers on Instagram. How important to understand there may be a diamond in the rough, if you will, at a certain institution, and what that may mean to that particular student athlete?
Well, first of all, I'm from Syracuse, New York originally, and you know, so it's not my alma mater, but that's my hometown team, and John and Syracuse are a great partner for us, and we love working with them. And I think he's right. You've got those flagship sports, but you're also making a great point. You're going to have athletes that play the non-revenue, non-spotlight sports that are going to be good athletes and really good with social media. And those are the ones that I think have a huge opportunity, because they're the big fish in the smaller pond. And here's the thing about those niche sports. They have equipment companies and apparel companies that are native to those sports that are going to be looking for Haley and looking for ways to have Haley help them grow their footprint with young athletes through her social media. She's a channel they're going to tap into. And so I think it's a huge opportunity. You're going to have tons of outlier stories. I think gymnastics is one where you're going to see a lot of women make a lot of money with apparel and equipment brands in the space who want to tap into those channels they couldn't tap into before to be able to reach a bigger audience.
That is really interesting. I keep going back to, and this is really isn't necessarily your expertise, but I'm curious, given what you do, how do you think this is going to play in the locker room? Where if all of a sudden you've got a quote-unquote marquee guy or girl that's making just a gazillion dollars, and yet you're in a team game where maybe somebody else on the team is making nothing. How do you think this is going to work, Jim, just the chemistry of a unit that's trying to operate to win a championship where you've got the star factor and the non-star factor, but yet, hey, they all work together in conjunction to try to win a championship. How do you think that's going to play?
Well, listen, it's a great question, but I want to make a few points around it. Number one, this is no different than playing time. So just as much as a student athlete might be making money more than the other student athletes in the locker room, there's also, you see situations and controversies around playing time in the locker room too, right? So the coach is going to have to really make sure that the team is unified around this the same way as playing time. And the reality is this. I just was with the football team here at Florida State, and we talked about the fact that July 1st, this starts, but you're not just going to make a bunch of money automatically. You're going to have to work at it. This is just like everything else. You get out what you put in. Just like playing time, just like your gains in the weight room and your max lifts. You have to work at this. You have to educate yourself. And we do that with our app to help them learn about this. You have to post for free often on social media to let people into your life and grow your following, another thing we help them do. And then and only then can you take advantage of it by signing up for Cameo and doing cameos or finding brands that want to do partnerships with you and fulfilling those partnerships. And so this is going to be a progressional situation. And what I think is really going to happen in the locker room is you're going to have 1 out of 10 student athletes take action on this. And all of a sudden, 2 student athletes are going to be sitting down and they're tying their shoes, getting ready for practice. And one's going to say to the other, I made $400 last week doing cameos for fans. Can you believe that? I mean, all I did was hold up my phone, make a personalized video for a fan, and got paid $50 for each of these videos. Can you believe that? And the other athlete's going to say, you did what? And it's going to spread. That's the beginning of the story. It's not AT&T calling the new Trevor Lawrence and saying, hey, we want to pay you $1 million now that we can. That's going to take a little more time. There's going to be an agent involved. You know, representation will be allowed into this world. And those athletes that are doing those size deals are going to need a parent or representation to help them. But those are going to be few and far between. The Cameo example, that's going to happen a lot more often. It's going to be a compound effect over time. And athletes are going to learn their power at the college level the same way they have at the pro level. And that's how this thing's going to grow.
They're also going to need an accountant too, Jim, because they're going to have to figure out taxes. But that's another story for another day. I'm just curious. I first heard of you about 3 or 4 years ago. I know you were working with a lot of programs at schools in particular to help in branding and recruiting and all sorts of different things. And your company's been really, really successful in those lines. What's the fastest moving or evolving piece of your business right now based on where you were 2 or 3 years ago? I got to believe you wake up some days and you're cutting trees down on a new landscape in this world.
Well, obviously, you know, we have a grid in our headquarters with all the state bills and federal bills broken down, and we're continuously updating that grid based on legislative changes. And, you know, that's just the reality of the environment we're in. But I feel like over the past few months, we've gained a ton of clarity. And you mentioned we started a few years ago. We started in 2017. Coach Cal in Kentucky men's basketball was our first client. And today we have more than 1,000 college teams from more than 120 institutions, more than 100,000 student athletes on our app. And we built this company helping student athletes build their brands. with technology that just delivered content to them so that it was at their fingertips and they could share it to their personal Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and not only grow their followers, but the school could see how many more people they were reaching from the collective audience of their student athletes versus their team accounts on social media. Because the collective audience of their student athletes greatly outnumbers the audience of their team accounts. And so reaching recruits and fans through student athletes is the advantage for the school, but for the student athlete, it's been a tool to build their brand. Now all of a sudden, NIL is here, and it's a business management tool as well for the student athlete. And so the biggest, most evolving part of our business is all the technology we're building to show student athletes where they can go make money outside of influencer, educating them on those opportunities, connecting them to those opportunities, and then, and this is big, helping them automate the reporting of every single transaction they do so that they don't have to worry about breaking the rules, and compliance can oversee all these transactions. If you read the Florida bill and any of the state bills in action, they don't talk about reporting to the NCAA. They talk about reporting to your institution. The institution has to help the student athlete stay safe and within the rules. And that is a responsibility we take very seriously. And so that's the most evolving portion of our business right now. We call it Influencer Verified. That's the new product we've launched on top of that influencer brand building product. And Florida State's one of the first to adopt it.
Jim, have you found any similar traits or characteristics of student athletes that will have more of a mass appeal regardless of what sport they play? Does that make any sense?
Humility. Humility. You know, listen, when you're a star athlete, people expect you to be unapproachable. They expect you to be bigger than, you know, life. And so when you can celebrate your teammates because of big plays they made, or it's just their birthday, when you can go march for a cause that you want to be an activist and supporter of, when you can do service in the community for something that touches your life in some way, these are all things that connect with a bigger audience and help people really understand that you're just a normal human being. And so more of that for athletes is powerful. And we just talked about this with the football team. And I talked about Zion Williamson because Zion Williamson came to Duke projected to be the number 7 pick in the next year's NBA draft. He was known as a dunker who was all about himself just because of how he was perceived through social media. Once he put his personality into his Instagram and he would shout out teammates, he would respond to fans' comments, he would reshare posts by fans on his Instagram stories. To this day, as an NBA star, Zion shouts out walk-ons he played with when it's their birthday and tags them. This is a guy who has tons of humility. He went from being the 7th rated draft pick to being the 1st, and he did a lot of big deals when he left Duke because of his humility. You know, he showed up with 1 million followers. He left with 3.5. He was there for 8 months. His Instagram and his brand exploded because people saw a larger than life athlete who has humility. And I think that that is huge for athletes.
Wow. I'll tell you what. I bet every morning is different at the old influencer building there, Pac. That's all I'm going to go with. I mean, those guys, are you kidding me? We're sitting here goofing off, talking sports, carrying on.
I have one more question for Jim, because that last answer I thought was fascinating because I didn't know what direction you were going to answer that in. But the fact that you did what you did was really intriguing. Do you think there's any chance, Jim, for broadcasters to maximize name, image, and likeness?
Oh, 100%. I mean, whether you're a broadcaster or an athlete or an entrepreneur, your ability to tell your entire story, help people understand the breaks you got. I always say there's no such thing as a self-made woman, self-made man. Many people poured into us to get us where we are today and are pouring into us to get us to where we want to go tomorrow. And hopefully we're pouring into other people to do the same, right? And so your story and how you got here and where you're going and what makes your heart beat, that is something that if you can tell that frequently on social media and get that out there, you're going to connect yourself with so many different opportunities. And guys, listen, that's why I started Influencer. I was building a fitness brand for 7 years. I was building it with a business partner of mine. We had more than 40 gyms and I was happy, but I just was sick and tired of seeing athletes misuse this stage that they're on for such a short period of time. I played D2 baseball. I can track almost all the things that I've I consider a success back to college baseball, including my wife that I met and the family we've built. And so I want these athletes to see that if they're in a room with influential alums that came to Florida State and own companies and are leaders in the marketplace, they need to not sit at the wall and be too cool. They need to run up and shake their hand and look them in the eye and get to know them, because while the ball's inflated and you're still playing, fans want to talk to you. Alums want to talk to you. People will take your call. And that goes for social media, too. People will comment on your post. They'll direct message you. They'll like your post. They'll grow as a follower with you. Use that while you can, because it's going to go away. Make the most of your opportunity. That is why I started this company in 2017, sold my fitness business, and went all in on this.
Cool. Excellent.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Jim, great to have you with us. Good luck. We look forward maybe to checking back in sometime down the road, maybe in the fall after we get a few of these rules in play, right? See kind of how these state laws have kicked in. All right.
Maybe we'll do it from my hometown up in Syracuse with Wild Hack.
There you go. There's a combo right there.
Well, I will say this. If you do it in Syracuse, it's probably going to require Packer to be involved in some sort of dinosaur barbecue adventure too. So we'll get all that tried and see if we can get that covered up. How's that?
I like it. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
You bet. Jim Cavale is he is the CEO of Influencer. And in Tallahassee today, we'll work with Florida State. That was a good guest right there, Pack. That was really, really interesting in terms of where this thing may go and how it impacts kids, it impacts students and the school's role in it.
And I think the other thing that is important in that conversation is a lot of fans, I think, are sitting back and they hear us talking about it, or their local sports talk or wherever you'll get your news, and you hear a name, image, and likeness, and the first thing that pops in your head is, oh, this is nothing more than a booster coming in and writing $1 million check. Well, Jim kind of explained how the process is going to work. Now, keep in mind, it's going to be critical for the NCAA to write the legislation correctly so there's no loopholes where there can be an issue with boosters and being consistent with sponsorships at an institution versus a sponsor of player A, B, or C. I mean, this is a very complex issue, but I think there's a preconceived notion by a lot of folks who are fans that just think, oh, if name, image, and likeness passes, college athletics, as we know it, is over because people are just going to go out and buy people. It's a little more deeper than that, obviously.
Well, and remember, you and I were probably in different tracks at the time, but remember when we were told cost of attendance was going to ruin college athletics too? Remember that, when that was coming down the track? Yeah, I can remember concerns being expressed because, you know, some guy from a certain part of the country would get more money than a certain, you know, female student athlete would from another part of the country. It, look, cost of attendance has not ruined college athletics. Schools have survived with cost of attendance. There are clearly a lot of challenges on the landscape now at these institutions. But at the same time, we're a much broader service panel in terms of what the business has become. That's one of the other things we just heard Dave Doran talk about and John Wildhack, as it relates to the expansion of the college football playoff. We will come back. We've got more true or false questions, Pack.
Dish times two.
How about this? A little surprise true or false presented by
Dish.
That's right.
To the second
Packer and Durham next. ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
On a Tuesday, a lot of good guests today. A lot of interesting guests today. We had so much fun with True or False presented by Dish. We decided to give you a bonus selection. And I don't know if we've ever done this before, going back to back.
I don't think we have.
True or False. So I hopefully the sales department sends Dish a second bill, because we're giving them double dip today. So that's the deal.
More like double dish.
Yeah. All right. There it is. The voice of victory.
just don't even acknowledge it.
Voice.
Don't even acknowledge the double dish.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny. That was funny.
Voice what do you of got? Victory. Voice
the
of
voice
victory.
The voice of victory. There he is.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Josh Macri, ladies and gentlemen.
Smart all right, fellas. People. Let's revisit the two clubs that we talked about today in our two-a-days, Florida State and Louisville. We'll go with the Noles first. So, Florida State has been 2-12 on the road over the last three seasons.
Ooh.
True. But, true or false, the Noles will win at least two games away from Doak this season.
Do we have their schedule available off the top of my head? I have not memorized the 21. Oh, you look at this.
Look at here. And we got the FPI for you, too, Pac.
That's irrelevant to me. At Wake, going to Switzerland, at North Carolina, at Clemson, at BC, at Florida, the answer to the question will be false. False.
Golly, look at that.
You're asking us to see the Noles win two of those on that screen? I'm going to go false.
I am too, and I'm sorry. That's a little bit of a tough cut on the schedule for the roadie, isn't it?
Extremely tough.
Because I think Wake Forest now. Switzerland's no walk in the park now.
Nope. There's not an easy one on that list. I hate to say it.
Nope.
There's not a single I feel good about this one in the middle of June on that list. So you tell me to get two.
Yeah.
I'm going to say false in June until I see them in person. Now, after Notre Dame, ask that question, may change our mind. Today, middle of June, given the 2-12 record the last couple of years, those five, I would go false.
I think they get Notre Dame at home on
Sunday night.
Then they play Jacksonville State, if I'm right on that, Josh.
Irrelevant.
So let's re-ask that question before the next game after that.
Yeah,
which I think is the road game.
Yeah, Jacksonville State's not going to influence me one way or the other. Notre Dame will. But
right.
Today in June, you're asking for two on that list?
I'll say false.
Nope.
Say false. Yeah.
All right. So we hit the Noles, and then later on in the show, we hit Louisville. We talked a lot about Louisville's turnover woes. Keep in mind, they've had 20 turnovers or more in 7 of the last 8 seasons. True or false, the Cards will have fewer than 20 this year?
Until proven otherwise, false. I mean, 7 of 8 means, hey, guess what? Hold on the football.
Wow.
And the one you didn't had 19.
Look at this.
So I'm going to go false. False.
Look at the 32 in 2016. Holy smokes.
Wes, that's just a bunch of numbers, period. When 19 is your low mark in 19... for Louisville's sake, I hope the answer will be true, but I think I'm going to go false on June the 15th.
I'm going to say true. I'm going to say less than 20. Not that they won't have a game, but they're not going to have many of these fives again. And last year, I think they led the country. Duke and Louisville were in like the top half of 4+ turnover games. They may have been in the top 5 in 4+ turnover games last year, come to think of it. But I'm going to say they turn the tide a little bit this year. They go sub 20.
Well, they've done it once in the last 8 years when they were at 19.
I know.
That's
all
a trend.
Is 19.
That's a trend.
19.
That last 8 years would have been, hey, one year you had 34, but one year you had 9. You know, there isn't one of those. I mean, there's just a bunch of balls on the ground and balls going in the wrong hands in the last 8 years. That is a disturbing number is what that is. That's got to get better.
All right, guys. One for round 2 of true or false.
True.
A lot of people are getting ready. Yeah, true. A lot of people are getting ready to go to Omaha. True.
False.
One of the more famous
false
items at the ballpark there is the Omaha Colossal Tot, which is a pound of diced potatoes bunched into one gigantic tater tot. There are only 50 available per game. True. And there are 3 flavors, chili and cheese, buffalo blue cheese, and Italian. So true or false, the Omaha Colossal Tot is the best ballpark food in college sports.
False. 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 Please.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Would I eat it? True.
That's the buffalo blue cheese, by the way.
Would I eat it?
Now,
true.
Wait a second. Why are you saying false? What is?
Well, let me just take you here to the Atlantic Coast Conference. Let me take you down to a Miami baseball game. Let me take you into 92
Miami?
Degrees. And boy, wouldn't a milkshake taste good right about now? That would taste good. How about if I have 8,000 flavors to choose from, in which I can even create my own concoction? True for Miami milkshakes, false for the giant tater tot in Omaha. Sorry. So there you go. That's my answer.
Yeah. All right. I'll vouch with you on that. False on the tater tot. As much as I would love to have one, I've had the Mark Light Shake. It's big time. You know, highly recommend chocolate banana.
Let me tell you something. You don't have to impress me with some crazy combination like that. You know what? The good old-fashioned American hot dog and something cold to drink at a ballpark. Hey, you don't have to get fancy with me. You really don't. As long as you've got some great hot mustard and some onions, and if your chili is of note, I'm good. Yeah. You don't even have to get fancy with me. Just telling you. Good old-fashioned American hot dog. Something cold to drink.
I tell you who else is not getting fancy. Kelsey Riggs and EJ Manuel. Because you know why, Pac? Tonight, in play, 10 o'clock, Kelsey and EJ have a unique look at the two teams going to the College World Series from the ACC. And the biggest stories of the week, and who knows, there may be some sort of putting thing involved too. In play tonight at 10, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back to this program on a Tuesday, Paige Madden of Virginia needs more room on her shelf.
I watched her.
She joined us back in the fall or in the winter and stacked up all these medals. In fact, the phone was sitting on medals. When we come back, we'll tell you why she needs more right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on the final segment of a Tuesday show. Many thanks to all of our great guests, sir. But we're not done because still some unfinished business, Wes. I had my feet up last night hoping to be entertained with the final Super Regional game. That thing got ugly in a hurry down there in Stark, Vegas.
Yes, sir.
And so during innings, I kept flipping over, and I ran across NBC, who had the U.S. Olympic swimming trials going on. And so I put my feet up, and I'm watching that. And lo and behold, they're talking about Ledecky, who's a great, great swimmer and dominated the sport and this and that. And so I'm watching the heat. And guess what? I hear a name. I go, hey, I know that person. I know who that is. And we're talking about Paige Madden from the University of Virginia. Yeah. And lo and behold, old Paige was rocking and rolling. Now, Ledecky's still the queen. But, man, Paige Madden, who's just been absolutely great. She's been on the show a couple times, had an incredible run at University of Virginia, doing her thing, winning titles. But how about what old Paige pulled off yesterday? Qualified for Team USA for the Olympics. Really, really cool.
No doubt. And then, out of the University of Virginia, she'll be going to Tokyo. Tonight, Catherine Burkhoff of NC State's going to try and qualify as well in the backstroke, I think, Pac.
Yep.
To get to Tokyo as well. So, and of course, she's a legacy in swimming at NC State. Her dad was a great swimmer for the Wolfpack as well. So we got a lot of interest tonight in the Olympic trials. You'll see some ACC swimmers, some people maybe you know as well from here on the show in the case of Paige Madden. We'll have to dial up old Paige Madden now, see if she's got more room for medals, right?
And all that taking place in Omaha, which is the place to be this week for not only the U.S. Yep. Olympic trials, but also baseball. We've talked a lot about Virginia and NC State today, who are heading that way. And, of course, Elliott Avent will join us tomorrow morning on the program, and we're looking forward to that.
By the way, quick note here. One of the conversations we were having with John Wildhack, the athletic director at Syracuse, was full capacity, hoping to get there with the State of New York Health Department. Well, yesterday in Virginia, Commonwealth has kind of extended that. So Lane Stadium, full capacity this year, Mark.
Love it.
Won't that be interesting on Friday night, September the 3rd? When they hit the first strands of Inner Sandman for the Hokies and Tar Heels on opening night.
That will be on fire because Hokie Nation's ready to get together again. It's a great place to watch a game. It'll be rocking and rolling. The Heels will be getting all this top 10, top 15 love. Virginia Tech with something to prove on a Friday night. An incredible weekend. Labor Day weekend is loaded, and that will be a big time game and environment, no question.
By the way, great show today. Thanks to Josh Macri, Commander Cody, Kurt Weiler, Florida State, Tallahassee Democrat, gave us a two-a-day on the Noles. Mark Ennis from 93.9 The Ville in Louisville, a two-a-day on the Cards. John Wildhack, Dave Doran, Jim Cavale of Influencer was outstanding. Tomorrow on this show at 8:30, number 9, Elliot Avent will be here. And we do two-a-days on Georgia Tech and Wake Forest, Pac. By the way, quick congratulations to Boston College, Clemson, and North Carolina's football sports information offices for being named to the FWAA Super 11.
Very cool.
Great honor for good, hardworking folks. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 a.m. On a Wednesday, it'll be Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Have a great day, everyone.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.